Good morning, church. How are y'all doing? It's good to see you didn't float away. Wow, this past couple of weeks have been crazy with the weather, hasn't it? Even on the way to church this morning, I had to stop in the middle of the road, turn around. Water is still over some of our roads out in our community. So hopefully you weathered the storms okay. God is good, right? Amen, amen. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. You made it. It's church. I love this time of year. My name is Pastor Brian. I am the family pastor here who gets to work with all of the students here in our church. And this time of the year is really special for us because it's a time of transitions. Right now, we've got a couple of weeks before school is out for the summer. I think as a parent, school just started like 2 weeks ago to me. And here it is 2 weeks, and then summer break is here. And we've got two different kind of groups of people. We've got the students who are like, oh, yeah. The fantastic summer break, and then all the parents are like, oh my, 2 weeks, and then summer break. I love summer break. It's fun for the first 3 days, right? And then you're like, okay, school can start again at any moment. As a parent, I look at that. But it's a good time of transitions in life. You know, we've got kindergartners who are going out of kindergarten and going into first grade, and how cool is that? I remember in the school that I attended, I had the little paper hat, you know, and the little diploma as a kindergartner. I thought it was the coolest guy ever, you know, graduating the first grade. And then the transition from middle school to high school is a really big time as well. Then you've got our high schoolers who are graduating in just a few days, who are leaving school, going to work, going into the military, going to college, getting out and just kind of putting their toes in the real world. And then you've got the group of people who are actually graduating from college, and they're really getting a taste of the real world for the first time, and they're going out. And these are all times of transitions that we see in our life and in our church family's life. And according to the famous American philosopher Ferris Bueller, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you can miss it. And you know, this time of life is really, it's a joyous and sometimes scary time in students' lives and families' lives, and maybe it's not even around school. Maybe just you in your life, you're going through a transition from one job to another, from one situation to anything. We all go through transitions in life, and in the middle of this transition period, some of us can have a tendency to struggle because it's cool, but there's a lot of unknowns, right? And I have to be honest with you, I struggle with the unknown part of newness, of transitions. I like a schedule. I like to know what I'm doing. And sometimes if my schedule gets off, I get a little kind of worked up inside. And so when life has transitions, not only do I get excited, I get a little bit nervous about it. The problem with that is when I do that, a lot of times I'll take my eyes off of other people and I'll begin to put it on myself. And therein lies a problem because I'm not doing what God has really called me to do. And I begin to lose focus of those things. But Max Lucado has something really cool. He wrote in one of his books that no matter what you're going through in life, that we have a God who loves us. And he said in one of his books, he said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. You remember those little pictures we used to draw for our parents and they'd proudly display them? He says, if God had a wallet, your picture, photograph of you would be in his wallet. Says that he sends us flowers every spring and a sunrise every day. And whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. I love that picture of our God, right? He's someone who walks through everything in life that we go through, and he's there for us. And if we just simply want to stop and talk about things that are going on and pray and just have a conversation with him, he's there to listen. What comfort is that, right? God is here to listen, to help us through the good times and the tough times. But sometimes I get really stressed out about things. And when I do, when I get my eyes off of the things that God's really called me to do, I go from being a person of grace to a person of gruff sometimes. I become Grumpy Smurf all of a sudden, you know. My attitude changes. And sometimes I wonder, what do people see with me when they look at me during those periods of time? Now, we all go through those, right? But the Bible tells us that we need to be about sharing our faith, about being people that are representing God. In fact, the Bible tells us that our spiritual lives have an aroma. That the way that we live out our life actually has a smell. That weird, right? I'm thinking, really? But listen to what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 and 15, it says, "Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume." And then it goes on to say, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. The way that we love our lives, our spiritual lives, is really a pleasing aroma to God. He loves it. I remember when my wife and I, well, she wasn't my wife at that moment because we were getting married, but at our wedding, when we became husband and wife, I remember the distinct perfume smell that she had been given as a gift, and she wore it on our wedding day. And I remember that smell of meeting her at the altar in front of all our family and God and making those vows to one another. And I remember that sweet, sweet smell that she had. And I picture that sometimes when I think about scriptures like this. What do we smell like to God? If we're living out our faith, man, God just like, that smells awesome. You know? And we have this aroma. But what do we spiritually smell like to other people? Come on. You know? What do we smell like to other people? The Bible says that to those who are receptive to the gospel, we smell like that sweet perfume. But to other people who are not receptive to the gospel, we have that smell of, well, let's just be honest, death. Have you ever driven on the road where an animal has met its demise for several days and the buzzards haven't came and taken their job seriously yet and it's still there and you've got the window down and you're just rolling and all of a sudden you pass that animal and you're like, woo, that's bad. I wonder if sometimes if I smell that way to some people with my attitudes and the things like that. I don't know. But I do know this, that the scripture tells us that we, you, me, everyone in here is created in the very image of God. That when God created us, he made us in his image. In fact, Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, "So God created people in his own image." It says that God patterned them after himself, male and female. He patterned them after himself and he created them. Raise your hand if you've ever gone to the Grand Canyon before. Has anybody ever visited the Grand Canyon? Oh, wow, there's a lot of people in here who've seen the Grand Canyon. You remember going up to the edge of that canyon, and that always kind of weirded me out to think about that, but going up to the edge and just looking down in that huge valley, seeing the beautiful scenery. Maybe you can feel the air, the wind that would blow off of that canyon, right? You can see that. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. Never been. I've seen a lot of pictures of the Grand Canyon, though. And in today's technology, man, to see the Grand Canyon on the movie screen or the television, it's just like I'm there. And it's just like I'm standing on the edge and I can almost feel that wind and I could smell the smells and I could see the beautiful pictures of the Grand Canyon. You know, when we talk about being created in the image of Christ, it's important to know, number one, that we are not God and we are not Christ. That's not us. But we're created in his image. And just like I could show you a photo and you could see all of the details of the Grand Canyon, when people look at you and I, they are supposed to see the details of the Christ that lives in us. Amen. And so we are made in that very image of Christ. We are made in the image of God. And so if you and I are made in that image, wouldn't you think it would be kind of important to know who he is, that we're supposed to be modeling ourselves after, that we're supposed to be this image of? I do. So let's spend a few minutes this morning just kind of talking about who God is and what we're supposed to be all about. You know, the Bible's very clear that when it comes to Christ himself, to Jesus, it talks about him being a lion and a lamb. You've heard that before. He's got the characteristics of both, but sometimes when we think about Jesus, we kind of stop and get stumbled over that whole lion part. Or maybe we just focus too much on the lamb part. We got to remember that he's the lion and the lamb. Amen? And so when you look at Jesus just through this lens of being this lion, it can get kind of intimidating. Matthew chapter 17 talks about the transfiguration of Christ, and And it talks about how Jesus, who had been just in the presence of his Father, had come down and his face shone like the sun. Now, I'm a pretty good looking fella. Not really, but you know. Thank you for that, brother. Can you imagine waking up one day and your face is like as bright as the sun? What if Pastor Kevin walked out of here? He said, man, I'm thirsty. I'm going to go get some water. And when he came back in, his face was like, poof. I'm talking about like a huge spotlight. That would be incredible. In chapter 17, it says, not only was Jesus' face as bright as the sun, his clothes had changed to this dazzling white. And the people that he had come back to meet with heard a voice. And the very voice of God from heaven said, this is my son, and I'm really pleased with him. They were freaking out at this moment. In fact, the scripture says the first thing they did was they hit the deck. They hit the ground. They were terrified of this Christ that they had been hanging around with, that they had been getting to know. He had been transfigured right in front of him. His glory had begun to shine out, and his holiness was just more present than it had ever been, and his face was just as bright as the sun, and his clothes had been transfigured into these gleaming white garments. And then they hear the very voice of God, and they're like, ha, this is insane. They hit the ground. They're scared. And sometimes I think we may have a tendency to just focus on the terrifying part of God's holiness, of Christ's holiness, because it is a little bit intimidating to us. And we can get focused on that and not remember the other part. In fact, there's a part in Revelation that goes even further when it talks about Christ in the first chapter around verses 12 through 17. This is the way that Christ is described in Revelation. It says that he's dressed in a robe with a golden sash, and that his hair is white as wool and as white as snow. It says that Christ's eyes burn like a fire, and his feet are burning bright. It's like when you put bronze into one of those furnaces and you pull out that metal that's just gleaming. It says that his voice is like the rushing waters, and he holds the very stars in his hands. And then it goes on, and even a little bit more unsettling that it can be, it says the sharp double-edged sword coming out of his mouth is present. And then it says his face again shines as bright as the sun. Now, these are pictures of Jesus that are extremely important for us to understand and to grasp theologically, because, you know, we are images of God. We are images of Christ. We are not him. He is holy, right? And we are to be set apart and holy as well in his image. But God is powerful, y'all. The song that our students interpreted this morning through sign language, the same power lives in us and the Holy Spirit. It's amazing when you look at these things and how awesomely powerful Christ is. But there is more to Christ than just the lion side of his personality. There's also the lamb. And the lamb shows up in the fact that he was humble. And all this power, he chose to just kind of wrap himself in human flesh and be led to the cross like a lamb was led to the slaughter for you and I. You see, and not only is he all-powerful, he's full of grace all at the same time, that he would be led to the cross to die for you and I. And Martin Luther once said this. He said, if God loved us well enough to give us anything, we need not to be afraid of him. When you take that powerful picture of who Jesus is and you look at also the meekness and the humility that he brought to this world, and we're supposed to be image bearers of him. We're supposed to be people who are made in his image, and we've got this voracious roaring lion, and then we've got the meekness of the lamb wrapped into one, and we think about all the things that he has done for us. It says we don't need to be afraid of him. But we do need to recognize how strong he is. Amen. Good. Why shouldn't we be afraid of this picture of who Christ is? It's simple. It's grace. It's his grace. His grace is what makes this whole thing just so applicable to our lives. And grace is really just his unmerited favor in our life. His grace was shown to us by his merciful death on the cross. And in the middle of whatever life transition that you find yourself going through, whether it's as cool as a high school senior graduating and going on, whether it's some other kind of transition in your life, we need to remember this. If Christ has grace upon us, it's imperative then that we have grace on other people. If he has bestowed this awesome grace on us on the cross, then we need to, in turn, because we are made in his image, have grace on those people who are around us. And there are several reasons for that. We must become dispensers of his grace. I remember growing up, my favorite candy was a thing called Pez. Who remembers Pez? Oh, yeah, I see hands going everywhere. Pez, for those of you who may have never experienced the awesomeness that Pez is, Pez is these little strips of things of sugary goodness. I don't know. They come in a little packet, and they're all in a line. And they're pure sugar with a little bit of coating. I can't imagine how many calories in these things, but it's just a little bitty things of sugar candy that you would pop into your mouth. But the coolest part about getting Pez was the Pez dispenser, right? And so you would go to the store and you would look, and you wouldn't worry about what flavor the Pez was. You would look at the dispenser. Now, the dispenser was almost like a magazine of a hunting rifle. It had a spring in it and a little platform, and you would take the Pez and you would load the Pez dispenser up with these little nuggets of sugary goodness. And then at the top of the Pez dispenser would be some kind of a cartoon character's head. I remember distinctly Bugs Bunny, Yosemite Sam, the Smurfs. They made Transformer Pezes. They made Barbie Pezes, Princess, all these Pez dispensers. And then to get the candy, you would rock the character's head back and one of those little pellets would pop out. And you'd grab it and you would eat it. I would pretend that I was Pac-Man growing up, right? Those were my power pellets, yeah. I remember those Pez dispensers. And in that same way, we need to be dispensers of grace, of God's grace to other people. He has given us grace that needs to flow out of us onto those who are around us. And here's why it's important. People need to get an accurate picture of who God is. And they're looking at us. Those who claim to have surrendered their lives to Christ, they have surrendered, they are following him, they are looking at us to see an accurate picture of who Christ. Now, listen, let me be honest with you. We don't always get it right. Me being the chief person who doesn't get it right all the time. I'm not perfect, neither are you. But we should be striving that way. Because when we are wronged, when we are done wrong against, or we're going through crazy transitions, where we take our eyes off of others and take our eyes off of the things we should be focusing on, what picture do we show of who Christ is? Just like that picture of the Grand Canyon, we should be showing all of the details of who Christ is. A proper view of God is based on the truth that he's perfect, he's the Heavenly Father, he loves us, he gives to us, he forgives us. It's all about grace. He has a plan for us. He has a path that's marked out that he desires for us to walk, and he shows us one step at a time, and that grace is filling every step that we take. There's some really weird things in life, and maybe you've seen some of these before. There's some products that you can go into Walmart and buy that come with some really interesting warning labels. And the thing about a warning label is, if they have thought through warning labels and decided to put certain phrases on a warning label, it's usually because people have been foolish enough to do the thing that they now need to warn them not to do. For instance, on a hair dryer from Sears, there's a tag that actually says, "Do not use while asleep." I don't know that I've ever been asleep and decided to blow dry my hair, but there's a warning label, right? On a container of bread pudding that you would take home and bake in the oven, the warning label says, "Warning, product will be hot after heating." Thank you for that. Yeah, you know, exactly. Duh, I don't know what to say about this. There's a warning tag on an iron, a clothes iron, that says, "Warning, do not iron clothes while on your body." All right, I want to do a poll real quick. Raise your hand if you've ever ironed a shirt that you were wearing. Thank you. 2, 3, 4. Yes, okay, I am not alone. We're dumb enough to do that. And so they put, you know, you've ironed your whole shirt and outfit and you put it on. You're like, oh, just one little spot. And you kind of, no, don't do that, guys. Warning. Go home. If you have a bottle of Nitol, look on the back. The warning says on the bottle of a Nitol, warning, will cause drowsiness. Why else would you take it, okay? Sometimes language gets mixed up when you start translating from one language to another. On a nice, high-end set of Korean steak knives, the warning says, keep out of children. No problem with that one. No problem. On a set of Christmas lights, warning label, for outdoor or indoor use only. I don't know of any other door I could use it, indoor or out. Two more. On a bottle of Saintsbury peanuts, warning, contains nuts. Yes, it does. It's peanuts. And the last one, ladies and gentlemen, my favorite, a Superman Halloween costume. Warning, wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I've got a warning label for us as Christians this morning. Warning. People are watching you as a Christian to get an idea of what Christ is like.
That's right, man.
We need to be understanding that when we have surrendered our lives and we've took on the mantle of Christian, that comes with a great responsibility. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But people are looking to see who Christ is. And I want to tell you something. Through the events and the mistakes and the goofiness that I've done in my life, I'm so thankful that God has shown me grace. Can you say amen to that? In your life, you should be so thankful to the grace that God has shown you. And now, as believers, it's our responsibility to show that Christ-like grace to other people. I read a statement last week. It said this: if people offend you, if it's small, overlook it. If it's big, approach them in love and handle it. Talk about grace. You remember those people where you really should have been just dressed down? You should have, oh man, I can't believe I did that. And then they come to you in love and say, hey, we're going to work on this together. That just is grace, right? You deserve to be dressed down. You deserve to be rant and raved. You blew it. And then they come to you and you're like, hey, I love you. We got some problems here. We're going to work it out, but I love you. Now, let's work on the root of the problem. Talk about some grace that God shows us in our own lives. We need to be that type of person that people look at us and see that true picture of who God is, of who Christ is, because there are a ton of people out in the world that have made God into the God that they believe is out there. Not the true God. They believe and have made God into the God that they think is out there. One of the type of gods that they have created in their minds is that God, our God, big G God, is a vending machine God. You know, just step right up, say the right prayer, and presto, you have your heart's desires. If that were the case, I would have a mansion and a 1991 Chevrolet Corvette drop top, you know. I would have one of those, but that's not the way God works, right? He's not a vending machine God. You can't just go up to him and say, this is what I want. Boom, there it is. Another God that they've made God into is this sort of a law enforcement God, this God who sits on the side of the road with his fun gun, right? And whenever you start to enjoy life, he's right there to pull you over and to hand you a nice guilt ticket. Yeah. Man, one of the most freeing times of my life was when I realized how free and how awesome and how blessed and how much fun Christians can have. We have a blast without all the crazy things that the world says. This is fun. No, Christianity is fun. We don't have a law enforcement God who's sitting on the side of the road ready to pull us over. And we don't have an old man God either. We don't have the older grandpa type God who loves to tell stories about the good old days, about when he parted the Red Sea and how he helped a boy take out a giant. But he really can't relate to things today. This is not the God that we have either.
True.
We have a God who's real,
amen,
who's relevant, who desires a relationship with you, who's active in your life all day long. This is the God that we have, one who shows grace. And let me show you in the scripture. Turn with me to the book of Luke as I begin to land this airplane this morning. Luke 15, a very familiar passage. The prodigal son. I want to show you the type of God that we have. Luke 15, and we'll be in verse 17. You are very familiar, I'm sure, with the story of the prodigal son who said, I want my inheritance. I want to go out and live life to the fullest. And you know he went out into the world. He blew his money on everything that he should not be taking part in. He became broke, a famine hit. He was in the middle of the pig pen, desiring to eat the very slop that was being fed to the pigs. And in verse 17, it says this, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. And then he goes on to say in 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. This is my favorite. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a God who's so full of grace, who's so full of mercy, that when we stumble, when we fall, when we find ourselves just a little far removed from him, or maybe even the prodigal son type person, that his grace is just waiting to reach out to touch us. And there are people out there who are wondering who God is, and they look to you and I as believers to see if God really changed you, what's different about you. Oh, can we be dispensers of grace to those people this morning? Can we be dispensers of the grace that God has shown us to them to show that we are truly set apart, that we're different, that we're made in his image? Oh, let me tell you, there are people in this world who are hurting. There are people in this world who are going through transitions. There are people in this world who don't have a relationship with Christ. Let us be diligent to show them who he is so that they can also come into a relationship with him. Let's pray together. God, you're an awesome God, and I love you. I love everything about you. And Lord, we don't deserve your grace, but you give it so freely. Lord, help us to remember that in our own lives, that we need to be showing grace to other people because we are your image bearers. We're made in your image. So God, help us to be the believers that you've called us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.